So I wanted to talk about Al Mechia, something we say every day. When I got my Bechina before I went into high school, I had to write, I had to say Al Mechia by heart. I don't think that's very common anymore. And it's something we say every day, sometimes multiple times a day. We don't always notice the words that we are actually saying. And one of the things that we do say, which is mentioned, I bolded it in the bracha, which I'm sure you do know by heart, even though you weren't tested for it at the beginning of high school, was le'echol mipirya v'lisboa mituva. So we thank Hashem for what He gave us. It doesn't matter if it's wine or if it's fruit or if it's mezonot. The reason I thought of this idea now is because of the fruit coming up to Tu B'Shvat. We'll be eating all these extra fruit. So we thank Hashem for everything that He's given us and for giving us the land of Israel, which He inherited to us through our forefathers, to eat its fruit, v'lisboa mituva, and to, you know, be satisfied from its good. And then we ask Hashem that He will protect us and take care of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash and all those different things. We add on the part of if it's Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah or Yom Tov, because assuming if it's based on the idea of benching itself, because it's Me'ein Shalosh, so if it's based on Berkat HaMazon, Berkat HaMazon, we do mention these things, so therefore we have to add them as well. And then we end with what, depending on what exactly we ate. Interesting, there's a different ending where you ate that fruit or food from, right? If it's Kedem grape juice, so you make Ve'al Pri Agafen. But if it's a Karmel Mizrahi grape juice, you're going to say Ala Aretz Ve'al Pri Gafna. Or if it's fruit that came from Israel, so Ve'al Piroteha, the fruit of its land, of the land, or just regular Pirot. Pirot is actually an interesting discussion in the Achronim, which we do not pass, and I've never heard of anyone who already said that that's mentioned, that would say Ala Aretz Ve'al Michiata, and not Ala Aretz Ve'al Michia.
Oh, really?
But I don't I didn't see the Michia of that land, but I didn't see that.
So Michia is what?
Michia is literally living. Okay. Michia. So the grain, like for example, if I'm eating a cookie that was used, was baked from grain that grew up in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe I should say Ve'al Michiata, the same way I would say Ve'al Pri Gafna, Ve'al Peroteha. But it's mentioned in the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch, but I did not see that in any sitter that actually quotes that down, that people actually say it.
So, in Israel, they would say the
yes.
Bracha like this too. It wouldn't
yes.
switch it or anything.
Correct.
Like
they say Val Pri Gafna, Val Peroteha, all the time.
Yeah, if they got some fruit, or
and if they don't, so
that's only a fruit that was grown in Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. When you get the dried fruit from Turkey, correct.
So then they have to change it.
So then you would have to say Al Perot. If you drink Kerem grape juice in Israel,
you're going to have to.
So you should say Ve'al Pri Agafen and not Ve'al Pri Gafna. 100%. And this is obviously based off of the famous Psukim source 2 that describe Eretz Yisrael, etc., and how the land is such a great place. So the Tov, and then there's a Psukim in Yirmiyahu, which are even more exactly the same words that we say in Al Mechia. Seems like that's the point of that's our purpose in Israel. Our purpose in Israel is to eat. And the top of page 2, in Nehemiah, Hine anachnu yom avadim ve'arat shenatat al avoteinu lechol et piriyah ve'tuva. Hine anachnu avadim aleha. We are slaves for this land to eat its fruit and to satisfy from its good. Now, obviously, it sounds a little weird. That's the purpose of going to Eretz Yisrael? To eat? There are other great places. I mean,
a bunch of Jews.
It is. There are.
It didn't say to drink.
There are very good things to eat there, but you would assume that there's something a little bit more holy than in Israel than the fruit. Now the Gemara already asked this question in Source 3 about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was not granted to come into Eretz Israel, and he begged. He begged Hashem to allow him to go in, and Hashem said no. So Gemara asks, "Darash Rabbi Samlai, mipnei mani tava Moshe Rabbeinu nikanes Eretz Yisrael? What was he? Why did he desire it so much?" Okay, so you were told no. It really is not fair. You went through all the trouble, 40 years in the desert, the whole thing. I'm not saying it's easy. Okay, but you weren't granted it. You got a lot of other good things. It's not like Hashem said you're not getting any reward for anything. It's not until today, Moshe is the only one that we call Rabbeinu. There's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so you didn't get in Teret Yisrael. Gemara asks, V'chi lechol mi piryahu tzarich, o lisbo mi tuvahu tzarich. That's what he was looking for, to eat, to satisfy from the food, for the satisfy from the good. From here, from the way that Gemara asked this question, it sounds like, that seems very weird that he would even want such a thing. And it sounds like in our bracha that that's the only thing we're saying thank you for. So the Gemara answers, Elakach amar Moshe. Harbe mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael ve'en mitkaymin ela be'eret Yisrael. There are many mitzvot that Am Yisrael God that cannot be, that cannot come out to play only in Israel. Ekanesani la'aretz k'dei shitkaymu kulan eladi. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael so I can be able to actually do those mitzvot. Amar la'kadosh baruch hu, klum ata mavakesh ela kabel sachar, ma'alein yelecha kilu asitam. You want to get the reward for doing all the mitzvot? No problem, you got it. So obviously, we see from that that Moshe Rabbeinu probably that's not what he was looking for either. He obviously was looking, you know, he wanted to do the mitzvot. So Hashem said, don't worry, I'll give you all the reward for it. That's obviously not enough, but okay, that's really the discussion on why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it. But from the question of the Gemara and the answer from it, it sounds like that, okay, you want to enjoy some good stuff, you come to Eretz Yisrael. But that's not, I don't think, that's why people live in Israel. People don't live in Israel just because
for
of the fruit.
For the Gashmut.
It's not the best Gashmut in the world. There are other Gashmut places in the world. Why would you specifically move to Israel or live in Israel to enjoy the good of it? Yes, it is a nice benefit of it that the fruits and vegetables actually have taste and all kinds of things that don't happen in other places in the world. But is that the reason to move? It's a little weird. So the tour brings this down in for halacha that this is what the nusach of the alamichia, and then he says v'chatu b'sefer ha-mitzvot that we should make the alamichia, and this is this, and that's the nusach v'nochal mipriya v'nizva mituva v'ein le'omro. But I think you shouldn't say those words, says the tour. He says I know sefer ha-mitzvot, the Rambam says this is the nusach. I don't think this is the right nusach. You shouldn't say this nusach. Why? She'ein lachmod ha'aret v'shvil piriyah v'tuva. The reason you should want the country, want this land, is not for the good or the fruit or the good of this land. Ele lekayem mitzvot ha'tluyot ba. Ad kan. And therefore, he says, and he quotes that his father, the Rosh, didn't say it. So in other words, in their alamicha benter, those words did not appear. That's not true. We don't say that. That's not why we want to go into Israel. That's not why we desire Israel. We desire Israel for other reasons. We don't say that. That's the extreme. Beit Yosef says, no. We say it. Rambam says we say it. So we say it. We say, so what's the reason? Nir'e she'ta'amo, the reason for it, is she'haya mefaresh she'ma she'anu omrim v'nochal nipirya v'nizba metuva ein ha'tachlit bishvil ha'achila. Says the purpose is not for the food, rather what we say afterwards. So if you go back to the actual nusach of Alamichya, right, we say lechon mipriya v'yizba mituvan, and we say rachemna, etc., etc., and then again v'samcheinu bevinyana v'nochal mipriya v'yizba mituvan. Again, we mention it. Because yes, we thank you for the fruit that we ate. And we want to return to the fruit that we could eat from Israel. But what's the purpose of that? Not a specific apple, not a specific orange. Rather, the Kedusha and Tahara that comes with the food and the fruit of Israel. That's our desire. Eating Jaffa oranges in Chutz Haaretz are the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, but that's not the Kedusha and Tahara. You can't have the Kedusha and Tahara outside of Israel. Even though it has halacha issues if you eat them. For example, the CRC sent out an email last week that they saw, I can't remember the name of the fruit that they saw that was being sold.
Oh, yeah.
Afar Simon. How do you say that in English?
Yeah, Afar Simon.
Okay. Persimmon.
Yeah.
So they are being sold, and they're from Israel, and therefore, you know, Truma Tomasro, therefore, you know, this year is a 6 year, so it's not a problem of Shemitah or anything, but this would be next year, so you can't throw away the pit, you know, and all the different things that come out of it. Oranges, etc. There could be Truma Tomasro, there could be Ola, there could be all the different issues that come out of it. So yes, halachically, we do have rules for it, but that's not the Kedusha and Tara. But the Beit Yosef is saying is that when we say in Alamich that we want to eat lechol nipira v'lizba mituva, that's not literally the fruit itself. It's the Kedusha and Tara aspect of it that comes, that could only be in Israel. And the Bach, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yol Isser, Sikrish, takes it one step further, and he says, he asks, Teima, halakdushat ha'aretz hanishpat ba, the kedusha of the land that is affected from the kedusha, mikdushat ha'aretz ha'elyonah hinishpat. Where does that kedusha come from? From above, from the land of Israel that's above. In other words, from Shamayim. Hinishpat gam beperoteha shionkim mikdushat ha'shchina ha'shochenet bekerav ha'aretz. Also, the fruit that absorbed that kedusha of Hashem that's presence in the land of Israel. Ve'alken, therefore, nicha, it is good. She'anu machnesim bibracha zo v'nuchal mipirav nizba'a tuva. No. I do mean eating the fruit. Actual, the eating. Not just the kedusha v'tahara aspect that we're making the bracha in kedusha v'tahara. Rather, ki be'achilat peroteha anu nizonim mikdushat ha'shchina u'mitaharata v'nizba'a mituva. When we eat fruit in Israel, we're not just having a good time, or having a good time in Kedusha Atara. Rather, when we are eating the fruit that we are eating in Israel, we are being nourished both physically and spiritually. When you actually eat a fruit in Israel, you're not only getting, you know, okay, I'm not hungry anymore, I'm actually going one step further and saying, I'm, so to speak, eating Kedusha. I'm actually absorbing Kedusha into me by eating a fruit that got the actual blessing from Hashem right onto it. The last explanation on this, or that goes in this realm, is the Mo'uk Tzia. He is also another commentary on the Torah. His name is the Yavetz, and he says like this: the end of that first line. Ve'afal gav de'aminan, and even though we say, and he quotes the Gemara that we learned in Sota, v'chi Moshe lechol mipriyav v'izba mituva yatzarich, that Moshe really need to eat the fruit and to be fulfilled from the good. He says maybe he didn't need that. Anu v'adai tzichilem, but we do need it. Ki perot eret Yisrael mosifim koach v'chokma. The fruit of Eretz Yisrael actually add strength and wisdom, like we say. There's a famous Gemara in Baba Bada that says that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you wiser. So
that's your problem, Jay. Some time now.
Literally, that every time you actually eat, you become therefore smarter. So maybe that would be relevant also here. In other words, maybe if I'm eating those Jaffa oranges here,
I'm still getting some of it.
Because according to the Beit Yosef, I think you would have to say that the Kedusha and Tara cannot be done properly if you're outside Israel. Yeah. And according to the Bach, maybe you could also say, well, the fruit were still absorbed from it and you could eat it outside. But according to this, I think you would definitely say that you don't have to be actually in the physical land for it as long as the fruit came from it. V'lo al chinam erich ha'tamun says, and it's not a coincidence that the Gemara brings a famous story. להזכיר אכילה מופלגת רבי יוחנן ותלמידיו, that רבי יוחנן and students were eating these fruit, כי אכלי פירות גינוסר, שנראית באמת גוזמה. There's a whole story there on how much fruit they eat, and how much it was, and how long they did it, and why do we care how much fruit they ate? אבל חס וחילה שכוונו לספר בינותיו, they're not trying to tell us how fat they were, or how, you know, how much they desired food. Rather, אלא בשבחם ובשבח ארץ ישראל התכוונו. This is actually a praise. It's a praise to Rabbi Yochanan and the students that they wanted to eat these kind of fruit, and it's a praise for the actual land that the fruit of the land are so desired. The fruit of the land of Israel give life, so to speak, to the people that live on it. And they add again power and knowledge, the ability to have more knowledge. לפיכך היו מרבים לאכול מהם. That's why they ate more from them. Not because they were extra hungry, that's because it was there. Okay. So now, what do we do with that knowledge? Okay, so next time I go to the supermarket, maybe I should look for fruit from Eretz Yisrael. That's nice. But what else can we learn from this? So the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, in source 6, top of page 3, that says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Ein lecha ketz megule mize. How do I know that Mashiach is coming? He says, the way you know, Pasuk in Chezkel, Ve'atem hare Yisrael, anfechem titenu, ufrechem tisu le'ami Yisrael. When the fruit and the trees will, when the trees start growing again, the fruit and the trees will be fruitful in Israel. Then you know Mashiach is on his way. So, and Rashi explains this and says, "Kshetiten Eretz Yisrael piriyah be'ain yafa, aizi karev haketz ve'en lecha ketz megulei yoter." The best way to know is when the fruit, again, when the land is fruitful, and there's no better way, no better indication from that. So I wasn't around 100 years ago, and I think most of us were not around then. But all the different descriptions about how the land of Israel was not as fruitful as it is now is throughout history. Doesn't matter which party was there, which nation was there, who wrote the description, always talks about how it's a desert kind of land. There's nothing there. And the only thing that are swamps and desert, and there's no trees and there's no fruit, and everything is terrible. And within 65 years, or you could even say 120 years, if you want to go back to the beginning of the Tzionut and all the different aliyah, you do see that there are more and more fruit. And I'm not trying to indicate that the Mashiach is right behind the door, but hopefully it is. But therefore, from that, we understand that that's also an indication of what we actually need to do. Because the Medrash in Source 7 asks a very simple question. Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Simon Patach asks the question about this pasuk. Acharei Hashem Elokechem Telechu. There's a pasuk that says that after you should literally walk after God. Acharei Hashem Elokechem Telechu v'oto tirau v'oto tavodu v'oto tidbakun. Something like that. So you have to follow the footsteps of Hashem. So a famous question is, and very obvious. V'chi efshar lebasar v'adam la'aloch achar HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can I physically walk behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Especially, first of all, just that it's very complicated to do that.
It can't mean literally.
So obviously it can't mean literally, but on the other hand, Pasuk says, Achei Hashem Elokechem Telechu.
The Pasuk says it means literally?
No. Pasuk says Telechu. Right. So Telechu means walk behind.
Okay.
So yes, obviously not physically because he's not physical. Right. But how am I supposed to follow his footsteps?
To emulate him.
So it says, Shekatuv bo bayam delkecha o shvilcha b'mayim rabim. Hashem could be in the sea, could be in the earth, could be in the land, could be in the fire. How am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to go up to the heaven and touch him or be close to him? And there's another pasuk that says that he's like fire. So what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to emulate him? So there's one famous medrash that says that we should do the actions that Hashem did. In other words, Hashem visited the sick, and Hashem buried those who needed burial, and Hashem provided for those who needed help with that. So we should do the same as well. That's one very famous answer. The answer that he says here, two lines from the bottom, Ela mitchilat briyato shel olam, from the beginning of creation, lo nitasek hakadosh baruch hu ela bemata tchila. What was the first thing God did in this world, after the first 7 days, in other words, created the world. After he created the world, what was the first thing he did? Planted trees. Hadaud ichtiv vayta Hashem Elokim gan be'eden, that Hashem planted a garden in Eden. Afatem, you too, kshenichnasin la'aretz, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, lo titasku ela b'matat tchila. The first thing you should do is plant trees. Hadaud ichtiv ki tavau la'aretz. When Pasuk says, when you come to the land of Israel, then you should plant, and then you have the mitzvah of Orla, the mitzvah of this, and all the different mitzvot that come out from that.
So, the JNF.
Exactly. This is this year has been sponsored by Ken. So the clear understanding from this is that also means that there's an action that you could actually do. And there's a very interesting sefer called Shivat Zion, which I brought here in Source 8. This book is a collection of many, many rabbeim in the 18th century, in the late 18th century, the 19th century, and all their different sayings about moving to Israel, living in Israel. You know, it's not Zionism in the political aspect of it, because it's most of those statements were said before. But some of them are from that time, but some of them are before. Just in general, the whole concept of moving into Israel, we know the Gra and his students moved to Israel. That's way before any Zionistic party came around. And he brings in this book the following statement. Mikol ha'amun itbarenu, he's discussing, is there a mitzvah to actually live in Israel, and etc. So he says, Shema she'amara katuv v'horashtem et ha'aretz v'shavtem, that you should inherit the land and you should dwell in it, and you should live there. Mitzvat aseh achat hashkula k'neged kol ha'mitzvot sheba Torah. It is a mitzvat aseh that is as strong as all the other mitzvot. V'chelek ha'yoter nichbad hu ha'yerusha. And what's more powerful from everything, or the biggest part of it, is actually the inheritance. How do you inherit something? By buying it, and then having the ability to inherit something. So, haynu hazchiyah bekivrat eretz be'eretz hakodesh, having again the ability to have a piece in the land. Bizman shehayu Yisrael le'am bifnei atzmam ledei milchama. So, when they were a people by themselves, in other words, at the beginning, when the Torah was given to us, it was through war, because they had to conquer the land. And then and now, he says, Vazman hazeh, what do we do it now? Aleikin gyan kesef. So this is before the state of Israel. It says, by buying a piece of land. V'u chashuv kechelek ha'olam haba. And this is as important as buying for you a piece for olam haba. V'gam hu docheh shvut b'mlacha deorait. And then he goes into the different details. We're not going to get into that. And then he says, dehayinu al demir anochi. Fine. That's one way. It's buying you a piece. V'chelek ha'sheni me'amitzvah anad hu ha'yeshiva. The actual sitting, the actual dwelling. V'gam ha'yeshiva mitchayeket ha'shnei chalakim. There are two parts to that. One is ha'yeshiva ba'aretz, the literal sitting. The second one is Yishuv Haaretz, is settling. You sat down, that's very nice. Now you're living there, that's very nice. Now how are you settling the place? V'chelek Yishuv Haaretz, gam ken itchayeg l'shosh malakot. So there's three ways to do that. One is Neti'at Kramim u'Fardesim, planting trees, orchards, groves, etc. Before Binyan Batim, before building houses. Which is very interesting. How am I supposed to afford to build a house? How am I supposed to build trees if I don't have a house? Now then he's saying, listen, you could live in a tent, but if you're not going to have roots literally in the ground, then you're not staying. That's the proof of roots. And then he says, and also grain and vegetables, etc. But the fruit come first, and that's an actual halachic approach that you have to do, and. Based on that, the Meimarom, which is in top of page 4, Rav Charlap, who was a Talmid of Rav Kook, or Talmid Chaver of Rav Kook, so he says that, okay, so that's all very nice, and if we say, oh, okay, we should go plant trees in Israel, and everything is okay. But why is Hashem telling Avram to even go to Israel? Let's take a step back. What is Israel all about? What's the purpose? Why do we find this place from all the different places in the world? He says, "Ki af al pi shel mare nayin nidmek yaret Yisrael hi eretz kechol shar haratzot." Even though, if you just look at it, this is a piece of land, that's a piece of land. What's the difference? Bemet lo kenu. That's not true. Ki acheret yiragami. It is totally different. Ve'ha'otzarot ve'ha'machmadim asher bekirba enam gloim leshum adam. But the treasures that are inside it, it cannot be seen by any person. Me'ein olam haba. It's like olam haba on some level. Alavnem, which we say on ayin lo ra'ata Elokim zratecha, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them lech lecha el ha'aretz asher areka. I will show you this land. Haynu shetelech le'aretz kazot shelo tuchal lirota be'atzmecha. It's a place that nobody else can tell you, oh yeah, I understand why that's a good place to go to, because it's got all this good stuff. No, Hashem, I will show you why this is good. Because all these different things that we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, you could have said about any other place. But that's not true. I could have said, listen, this land, you know what, it's a great land, and the fruit there is good. How would I know that? In other words, do we really feel a difference when we eat this kind of orange or that kind of orange? This kind of fruit, that kind of a fruit? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Asher Reka, I will show you. I will show you that difference. It's not something that every person can see. It's something that's like Olam Haba. It's something that is on a higher level, and not everybody could absorb it, not everybody can understand that. I will show that to you. And Rav Kook, very interestingly, mentions that that's the reason why we say, Al Neharot Bavel or Shir HaMa'alot before benching. He says, HaMa'achal Shel Eretz Yisrael Mekadesh BePnimiyuto. The food of the land of Israel has that ability to give you that Kedusha from within. Ve'no Megashem Ki'im B'Chitzionuyuto. The Gashmiut is only on the outside of it. Yes, the fruit might look good or might have better taste, but אבל ממאכלי חוץ לארץ צריכים להיזהר. But from the foods of חוץ לארץ, you have to be careful. Why? ולפי רוב הציפייה לארץ ישראל מתעלה המאכל שבחוץ לארץ גם כן. But by that desire for Israel, that looking forward to moving or to getting there, to getting close there, so even the food in חוץ לארץ can be elevated. He says the food in חוץ לארץ is not on any kind of kedusha. It doesn't have that Pnimiut Kedusha, that the food in Eretz Yisrael does. That's why he says you should be careful of it. But he says by saying, okay, I'm not there now, but this is where I want to get to, that Tzipiyah l'Eretz Yisrael, so that could elevate the situation you're in. I'm not there now, but I'm elevating where I am, because even though I'm not there, this is where I want to get to. So he says that's why, and then he says, וזהו סוד הזכרת ירושלים בעל נערות בבל או בשיר המעלות שובה בכל סעודה. That's why we say על נערות בבל or שיר המעלות. Tzipiyat Eretz Yisrael haba techef l'amazon. The reason we have to mention how we are looking forward to the return to Eretz Yisrael when we eat, me'adenet et ha'ma'achal shebechutz laaretz. It softens, so to speak, the bad food of chutz laaretz, ve'osah oto karov la'ilui shel Eretz Yisrael. That's what elevates it to bring it to the level of Israel. Not, again, on the taste level, on the kedusha level of it. Because if going back to the beginning, when we say thank you for the food, that you know that it was so good, and it, just for the sake of argument, if it was bad, no, it was burnt, you know, it wasn't as good. We're not talking about the gashmiut level of it. The whole thing, the whole discussion we're talking about, even the lechol nipriyav lizbam mituva, as we showed, that's not on the gashmiut level of it. That's on the ruchniut level of it, on the spiritual level of it. On that point, if the whole thing that we're trying to achieve is elevating our food to have a stronger kedusha, so then if I have in my mindset that I understand I'm not there, but I'm on my way there, I'm trying to get there as soon as I can, so I can elevate even what I'm there now. Will I get to the highest level as it should have been? Obviously not. But it has the ability to elevate it higher than where it is right now. So hopefully we will all be zocheh to eat good fruit and kedusha and tara very soon. Yeah.